And looking forward to what God has in store today. Have had these verses. Of course, that's in the New Testament. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. This is what it says. Familiar verses of Scripture for you. Anybody ever heard of the fruits of the Spirit? All right. How many knows they're important? Amen. As Pentecostals, we have to be careful. Sometimes we'll focus on the gifts of the Spirit so much we almost neglect the fruits of the Spirit. And I believe will not be in operation as it should be in your life without these fruits. Amen. I believe these are essential in your life and should be there. And I've always struggled with the fact that I've watched blow up unjustly, get mad, or I'm scratching my head. Something ain't right here. Amen. The same Holy Ghost that will speak in tongues, the same Holy Ghost that will call you to live right. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is read those again, and then I want us to go to Galatians 3. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Just a few pages back in your Bibles. And this is how it reads. 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye by the flesh? I'm going to read that last part. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Amen. I want to preach to you for a few minutes today on no fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. No fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come to you today before this congregation, we need your help today, Holy Ghost. Lord, it's another Sunday that we've come together. We are a church family growing together. God, I know there's needs in our lives, Holy Ghost, but I believe one of the greatest needs in the day that we live is sweet Holy Ghost character, Lord Jesus. The character of Christ being pushed out of us, God, flowing out of us, that this world would recognize who we are, not evident just by a standard, but by how we live. God, we know, Lord Jesus, we need these fruits in our lives and many other fruits. And I'm trusting you to help us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you would listen today, because I'm going to try to take my time and get through this. And I want to be very clear. But I read about a famous story. It tells us of a tightrope walker by the name of Charles Blondin is his name. In 1824 to 1897. Was anybody alive then? I'm just playing. But who set up his tightrope, this man by the name of Charles Blondin, he set up his tightrope across the Niagara Falls and walked across it several times. So confident that he had become, that he made a journey forwards, he made a journey backwards, and began to perform various tricks on the way backwards and forwards, like sitting on a small stool, by eating a meal. But the most famous trick that he did is when he asked for a volunteer in the crowd who would volunteer for him to carry them across the tightrope. Now, some of you probably recognize the story of how this man that was there said, look, give me a volunteer. And I'm impressed with this man that did the tightrope, but I'm equally impressed with the man that had enough faith for this man to carry him across that tightrope across the Niagara Falls. I don't know about you. I wouldn't have been the one out there with my hand raised and said, could you please pick me, sir? I want to be the one. But whoever this man was that raised his hand, we know the story that this brave or perhaps even foolish step that this man took here, as the man stepped forward and was carried over on this great man's shoulders. Now I want to ask you a question today. How foolish would it have been for this man that was on the shoulders of Charles. Say, this man that volunteered, that was on his shoulders. And could you imagine as Charles Blondin here got halfway across the tightrope for that man that is on his shoulders to tap his shoulder and say something like this, Charles, look man, I don't trust you anymore. Is there any way you can let me down and I'll just walk the rest of the way, to the safety? How foolish would that have been for a man that did not have the experience, who was not the professional, who did not have the balance or anything, would it offer, say, look, mister, I don't trust you anymore. Can I get off of your shoulders and can I walk across the rest of the way? Now supposing this in our minds, how crazy would that have been? We'd have looked at that person that volunteered and said, sir, you're plumb crazy. Charles would have looked at him and said, man, I can't set you down here. You'd fall off to your demise. You would die and you would not make it. I want you to understand today, this is the very reaction that Paul is having toward the Galatian church. When they were beginning to depend on religious practices to save them. When they begin to depend on self to save them. And what they could do and what they could orchestrate and what they could put together. We understand here that Paul twice calls them mindless and witless. If we were to say that in very common language, how stupid can you be? Come on now, that's what Paul said. People say, oh, that's what Paul is saying to them. Saying, you've lost your mind. Who in the world do you think you are? After the Spirit has carried you from being regenerated to giving you righteousness through Jesus Christ to producing His character in you, what makes you think you are man or woman enough? What has gotten in you? What has bewitched you? What has vexed you? What has caused you to think so silly and stupid that all of a sudden you're not going to lean on the Holy Spirit to do it, but you're going to start walking in the flesh. You're going to start trying to do it yourself. You're going to try to make it the rest of the way yourself because all of a sudden you've gotten brave enough, or maybe you're thinking you've gotten articulate enough. Well, my dad used to say it like this, son, you've just gotten too big for your britches. What he meant by this is this, you ain't got a clue what you're talking about. You've lost your mind is what Paul is saying here. Friends, as I'm talking to you today, I want you to understand how necessary it is for the Holy Ghost to work in your life and for Him to produce in your life. There's never a time in your walk in this great walk with the Lord that you'll ever get to a place that you feel like you can do it on your own. When you do, I encourage you, drop to your knees and begin to talk to God, because I am encouraging you today in this. The Holy Spirit is everything when it comes to producing fruit in your life. It's not how good you can study. It's not the lesson you put together. It's not how much you studied, how many hours you studied. All of that is good and all that is important. But the question is this, how much is the Spirit producing in your life? The Spirit is absolutely necessary in everything. Now understand, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 18 times in this epistle and plays an important part in Paul's defense of the gospel of the grace of God. The only real evidence of conversion is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. You are not regenerated until that Spirit comes by and awakens your dead soul. It is important that we understand the work of the Spirit in salvation. Not only in salvation, but also in Christian living. I've met people before with this mentality. Oh, the Lord saved me. He dealt with me. And He got saved. And then you watch them the rest of their life and they're scrambling like they're trying to do it themselves. They give so much effort. And the whole time, when there is no fruit, there is a problem. Can I get a louder amen than that? When there is no fruit, now I understand there's seasons of growing. And I understand there's seasons of pruning. But I'm telling you, Derek Jones, for one, when it goes a season of my life, I begin to pray and ask God, Lord, give me souls lest I die. Lord, I want to see somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see somebody come out of darkness into His marvelous light. I can never be content enough. I've got to see the fruit not only there, but we also understand when it comes to Christian living, we must understand that fruit is necessary in our lives. We know the Holy Spirit convicts the lost sinner and reveals Christ to them. The sinner can resist the Spirit, Acts 7:51, or yield to the Spirit and trust Jesus Christ. When the sinner believes in Christ, he is then born of the Spirit and receives a new life. He is also baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And then we know he can be sealed by the Spirit, which is the testimony of the Spirit. But we also understand this. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost with Christ. Not only, now we understand understand the Holy Ghost puts you in Christ when you're born again. But then Christ puts you in the Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost baptism. I'm telling you, the Spirit is absolutely necessary in our lives. So since the Holy Spirit does so much for the believer, this means that the believer has a responsibility to the Holy Spirit who lives within his body. The Christian should walk in the Spirit by reading the Word, praying and obeying and doing God's will. If he disobeys God, then the Bible says he's grieving the Spirit. Amen. I want you to get the essentials of this and how important it is. If he persists on grieving the Spirit, he eventually quenches the Spirit. Amen. Understand this today. You ever thought of that? And I'm chasing a rabbit here. But how has the great God of heaven allowed himself to come down to a place where he actually allows himself to be grieved by us? Where he allows himself in the sense where he does this in his omnipotence and power, where things actually grieve him. He moans in us. He groans in us. And he makes utterances that cannot be uttered in our lives. But hear this today, my friend. This means that the Spirit cannot give him the joy when we vex him or quench the Spirit and the power we need for daily living. I believe if we could see in the spiritual realm, now I know God doesn't allow us to see everything. I wonder how many people's lives vexes and grieves the Holy Ghost. Think about that. I wonder how many people, when it comes down to it, we come to church on Sunday, and thank you for being here today. I love you all, and I enjoy being around you. But I'm telling you, how vexing is it when we come to church on Sunday, but live like we want to the rest of the week? You live and you get mad all day Monday. You watch what you want on Tuesday. You do what you want on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday. And we repeat the same process. I'm telling you, my friend, what made you since you got born again, what made you feel like that all of a sudden you can get born again in the Spirit, but now you can walk in the flesh? It'll never be accepted. And the sweet Holy Ghost is faithful to Derek Jones as well as he is to you to not allow us to be there and stay there. The Spirit is essential in everything, which simply means we have to learn to be filled with the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit and have to walk in the Spirit. This continuous experience, like drinking water from a fresh stream every day, the Holy Ghost is constantly renewing us and refreshing us. And I trust today that you have a healthy, vibrant relationship with the Holy Ghost to where He touches your heart. He awakens it when it's dead. He tells you when you're walking the wrong way. He awakens that heart to the reality of the hour. He deals with you in the prayer closet. He deals with you when you're reading the Word. He freshens your experience on Monday. He causes you to cry on Tuesday. He wakes you up on Thursday. I want that Holy Ghost to be walking in my life. I want Him to be evident in my spirit. I want to step into His presence and live in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hope this don't make you uncomfortable, because this is Pentecost. This is what it is. Oh, I'm telling you, learning to walk in the Spirit. Now, I wish I knew it all from the get-go. But I'm telling you, I've learned from where I'm looking 10 years ago, where Derek Jones was. I didn't see it all then. I was like Abraham. I'm looking at distance. Amen. If only I knew what I knew today. But I can tell you strategically, if you have a healthy relationship with Christ, you'll find Him ordering your steps. You'll find yourself at a detour here, and a dead end there, and a Red Sea here. And He'll constantly lead you. He'll lead you to Jericho's walls, and He'll lead you into green pastures and by still waters. That's walking in the Spirit. It's not, you understand what I'm saying today? There's some people that live every day for themselves. They have a little program they go by. And man, if the Holy Ghost tried to disrupt that, it can't be God, you know. That's just too much sacrifice. Or you're asking me to do too much, Lord. I'm telling you, friends, the Spirit is everything. Why would we be so foolish to think we can start in the Spirit and we can then walk in the flesh? You can't do it. You have to walk in the Spirit. I look at this. Now, the Spirit and fruit is so important. How many ever gets tired? Now, I'm just being honest. How many ever gets tired of deadness in churches? I hate it. It actually makes me mad with a righteous indignation. That's why sometimes you may look up here and say, man, I wonder what he keep telling. Because I realize that there's a vexing going on. You know how damaging it is to that church when you walk through these doors and you've walked in the flesh all week? Welcome to a dead church if that's the case. And you're looking at somebody else's worship and, that's just too much. Praise the Lord. Look, I'm going to worship in the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
comfortable?
Praise the Lord. It's not a show. I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the house of God. These altars are His altars. This pulpit is His pulpit. The pews are His pews. This church is His church. This vessel is His vessel. And I'm going to live that way. I'm going to walk that way. If I live trying to make everybody happy, I would be of all men most miserable. But I'm telling you one thing. When the Holy Ghost is in on the inside, it'll show up on the outside. You'll walk in the Spirit. You'll do His will. And there will be fruit. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm about to have a solo today if I have to preach all by myself. Amen. I'm telling you there's going to be fruit in your life. I'm telling you it's not the will of God that they walk in our doors unchained. I'm telling you it's not the will of God for the gifts of the Spirit to be quenched. I'm telling you it's not the will of God for you to go a week and don't hear from heaven. My God, once again, let the Spirit be real to us. Let it be intimate with us. I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to quench Him. But I want it to be a flourishing vineyard in my spirit that I'm living the will of God in my life. Man, we could almost become Baptists in this approach. Let's have our devotionals. Oh, I hope I get to go there on Sunday morning. I hope He's got four good points for me that I can live on all week. Man, I hope He's got a good story for me. Man, I hope the song leader sings it just like I want it. And if she does, I'll worship. If she don't, I won't. Amen. I want it to be just like... No, I'm telling you, when you're living in the Spirit, if they're playing on a 5-gallon bucket in Africa, I found the Holy Ghost there. If they're beating two sticks together in the jungle, I found them there. I found them here at Abundant Life. I found them in North Carolina. I found them in Texas. I found them in Ohio. I found them in Maine. I found them in Pennsylvania. I found them across this nation. I found them on the foreign soils. I found Him in my house. I found Him in my bedroom. I've learned to walk in the Spirit on a Monday morning, on a Sunday morning. It doesn't matter where it is. I can walk and live in the Spirit of Christ. And you know there's a problem when we say we're walking in the Spirit on Sunday and you're dead as last year's grass on Monday. Come on. God's wanting us to be like grapes, we're more like raisins. Come on. He wants us to be flourishing and full of power. I'm telling you, this Holy Ghost, He'll be in your life. He's going to rule you. He's going to take control. I'm sick of preaching about Jesus, the shampoo model, walking around, flipping His hair, and opening blinded eyes. I like the Jesus who was led in by the Spirit into the wilderness, who cast out the demons when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He said, to break the captives, set the captives free. That's the Spirit of Scripture. It's not this religious thing. It's not this dip thing. It's not this mundane thing. It is life and power and hope and joy and abounding in hope where the demons have to flee and the sicknesses have to go and people realize that this is the presence of God. I get sick of the hypocrites dozing off during service. Amen. I'll put it this way. I didn't go to church as a sinner because I was uncomfortable. I've told it before. Can't agree with all the wisdom of everybody, but grandma would turn around, go to the altar, crying, looking at you. What it was, I'm not mad at my grandma for that. No, I thank God she had a burden. Come on now. I thank God they have a burden. We almost want to walk through, don't say nothing to them. And then if they leave church, chase them across the community. Maybe you can get them to come back. If you're born again, I'm not a traffic cop and I'm not a sheep herder. I'll tell you this, I'll preach the word. I'll go when the sheep have strayed if I have to, but let them run to the wolves. I can't help it. I've got to preach the word. I've got to be graceful and merciful, but I cannot endanger the very vessels that God has given me. He's called us to walk in the Spirit, and that's the message that we are to adhere to. Hey, amen. Fruit in your lives. Let's look at this real quick. The Holy Ghost takes part in regeneration. We know that. He takes part in overcoming sin and witnessing and much more. But this message, I want to focus on producing fruit. Just as it is crazy for us to depend on the flesh for salvation and for fighting sin, it is equally as crazy for us to depend on the flesh for spiritual fruit. The life of Christ cannot flourish in us without that sweet Holy Ghost living in us. I will tell you that. You want that Christ to live in you? You want the life of Christ in you? You get that Spirit inside of you. He will push out the character of Christ in your life. And notice this, my friends, a contrast in this. How many's ever heard of works?
Man, the Catholics outshine you. They got more soup kitchens and fed more sandwiches and fixed more little kids' teeth. They got hospitals. I mean, they've got the robes and they'll march out in the street. Mother Teresa's devotional life would put most of us to shame. But there is a difference in being born again. Follow me today. There is works and then there is the fruit of the Spirit. Notice this, a machine in a factory works and turns out a product, but it can never manufacture fruit. Anybody ever seen a machine produce a part? You ever been to Advance Auto Parts or wherever? Oh, I forget the rest of the name of these places around here. But you go in there. You ever heard of Napa? Well, that keeps anything going. Well, for Napa, you wouldn't have vehicles. Amen. And Advance Auto Parts. You ever got a part, say like an alternator or brake pads? How lively are they? Man, can you look at that brake pad and say, oh, brake pad, I'm going to take you home. I'm going to plant you in the backyard. And you're going to grow me so many brake pads. I can't wait to get there. I'm going to have enough brake pads for everybody. How silly is that? That is what works is. It produces and manufactures, but it cannot give you fruit in this life. So we look at this today and must understand that when it comes to fruit, when you think of fruit, you think of beauty and quietness and the unfolding of life. The flesh produces dead works, but the Spirit produces living fruit. And the fruit has in it the seed for still more fruit. Love begets more love. Joy helps to produce more joy. Jesus is concerned that we have fruit, more fruit, and more, much fruit in our lives. Understand this. The believer, the born-again man or woman, ought to be these reproducing vineyards. We ought to be these plants, these branches that are putting off grapes, so to speak, that is putting out joy, contagious joy, to where the world can recognize this in our lives. Romans 15 and 13 reads just like this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There are three fruits of the Spirit mentioned in the text. Joy and peace and believing is tied to faith. Notice this, I want you to abound with hope. That word abound there means like clusters of grapes. And actually, you look the word up, it means overproducing. It means clusters of grapes, they're about to burst. They're about to explode. Once again, are you a grape or a raisin? Hey man, let me tell you what a grape would look like come in. God's on the throne, going to have church today. Praise the Lord. I can't wait to sing the songs of Zion. Man, I can't wait to go to church. I can't wait to pray. Wonder what the preacher, if it's me or anybody, wonder what the preacher has to say. Wonder what the Sunday school's about. And you're just abounding with hope. You go to work on Monday. I mean, you're just so full of God. They look at you and say, man, he's something about you, brother. Something about you, sister. Where? How do you smile like that? How you go through a trial and you sit there and you smile and you say, God's in control. You get there, have a bad day. So speaks that several things go wrong and you can walk through it and you can realize God is in charge. That is what a grape is like. You know what a raisin is? God, where are you? Ain't nothing fair. I don't get my way ever. Man, I go to church, I have to put up with that stuff. Man, I wish he or she this or that. You're a raisin. You're dehydrated, baked in the oven, salted, put in a bag of trail mix, it might sell you at Walmart. You ever notice a good old healthy bag of grapes there at Costco? Boy, that's where we like getting them. I mean, I said, man, looky there. Honey, Chloe eat grapes like crazy. I eat them for a while, and then there's something else that comes up, and I'll eat that. Amen. But I look at them grapes, I say, get that batch right there. You look over there, maybe some grapes that are deflated a little bit wrinkly. Then you look over here, so look at them, they're falling off. Amen. You look at the bottom of the bag, the vine can't even hold them up there. I don't know about you, do you want to be like a grape or a raisin? I'll tell you what this world needs, it needs a lot more grapes. Come on. Needs a lot more grapes. Something with some nutrients in it. Something that is refreshing here. So notice this. We're going to do a fruit inspection. You ever inspected fruit before? See, I'm smart enough to know, and I don't. My wife does most of the shopping now. I hate Walmart with a passion. I really do like Walmart. I'm just playing. But I going in there and walking, man, I said, man, I get sick of walking. And my wife said, come on, go with me. And I'll go sometimes. But here recently, I've been boycotting it, not for no reason. I just get sick of walking in Walmart. But you ever notice this? I look over there at some fruit. My grandma used to be good at it. Them old timers can tell some good fruit. Oh, don't get them. Grandma said, oh, no, put them back. Get the green ones. I said, what do you mean get the green ones? You can't eat the green ones. Oh, they'll be ready soon enough. Don't, you know, put that one back. I worked in a watermelon field for several years, 12 to like 15 years old. And I remember I picked something and I put it in there. Old Jody Dale, he's still today, he's almost 80 and he's still working it. He still does cantaloupes and watermelons. He just goes and goes and you can't stop the man. He said, hey, Derek, what's that one? Look at that bruise on it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Ain't no bruise on this. He said, right there it is, right there. Sure enough, he could take a watermelon and pluck it there. And it's almost like he's hearing music. He said, oh yeah, that one's ready. Amen. Old-timers, what are they doing? Now notice this, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. 9 different fruits that are to be in your life. Amen. Let me ask you today, let's pick up the fruit of love. Now love here is agape. It's not sensual. It is agape love. It is an unconditional love that is a gift from God. You don't have to put conditions on this love. The first fruit is a cure to everything. If you get your love right, everything else will fall in order. What is your love like today? You know how conditional we are? Where's your unconditional love? You know what? Studying for this, I begin to find some bruises. I begin to say, I need the Lord to have more unconditional love. Let me tell you what conditional love is. Well, it's not my son or daughter. Come on. Well, I'll do this for my children. And look, I know you're going to protect Joan. I'm not telling you not to. What I'm telling you is this, unconditional love is that love that permeates out of you. This is no matter who they are. Lord, I have a burden for them. And even though you've got to use wisdom with that, it ought to be with inside of you. What about your joy? You know what joy is? Joy is that inward gladness and sufficiency that is not affected by outward circumstances. It's holy optimism. I wonder how much joy you have today. But you know what? Derek Jones's joy, there's been a time or two. I look and you say, you know what, Lord? I need more joy in my life. What about peace, the quietness of soul? What about long suffering? Is that enduring patience that rules your emotions? Or are you that volcano that you never know when they're going to erupt when something don't go their way? Come on. How much patience do you have? What about faith and meekness and temperance? What's the condition of the fruit in your life? The fruit of the Spirit is our character and identity. It's a shame when we could care less about them. Don't tell me how much you want to shout and completely neglect the outflowing of the character of Christ in your life. We are more like raisins than we are that grape. We have to understand this. I need the fruits of Spirit in my life. Now, I hope nobody here today would say, look, Brother Derek, every one of these, I want to rephrase that. I hope you can say that every one of these fruits are just busting off the vine in my life. Then why don't we see more things happen? Come on now. Is faith the fruit? Is faithfulness? That's what it says. Faith is not talking about the faith. It's talking about faithfulness and stability. Are you one of those that nobody can depend on? What about temperance, self-control? Or are you controlled by self and you're running around the community and just got to get this and got to get that? Where is the fruits of the Spirit in your life? We look at this today and I want to give you the key, and I'm going to be quiet, to producing fruit. John 15, Jesus says, I am the what? The vine. I am the vine. I am the true vine. Excuse me. And my Father is the husbandman. Now notice, this is the seventh and last I am statements of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus identifies Him as the vine and His Father as the gardener. Notice this, a real vine. He calls Himself the real vine, which means I am the authentic vine. The key to fruit bearing is to be a part of the authentic Christ. Amen, amen. Do you know how many different Christs they've created? Half these things you read about sometimes, you're scratching your head and say, that can't be right. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus wouldn't do that. And people have created more images of Christ in their mind. But if you want to bear fruit, not in the form of religion or not an idea about Jesus, I get worried when you are trying to work with people and they are clueless about living without sin and trying to live above sin. And you wonder what has trapped them and what mindset they have. I'm telling you, you've got to get a part of the real vine. Authentic, real power of Jesus. Not some created mentality, but the real vine. Notice this, it goes on to say, every branch in me that bears not fruit, what does He do? He takes it away. Now notice this, right from the start, the passage sounds a word of judgment. The vine dresser must cut away lifeless, unproductive branches that bring disease and are useless. They bear no fruit, which means they have lost true connection with the vine and the sap of life. It is not there. They are not bearing fruit. It is not evident there. They are not producing anything. That is a problem. But I want you to notice this. This is where I really feel like we relate to you better today. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does He do? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth, we talked about no fruit, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now this is where sometimes we fall off and don't understand. So we understand that branches that bear no fruit are cut off. But even harder to hear is that the branches that do produce fruit do not escape the knife. You hear me? I want everybody to make sure they're with me because I'm afraid some of you not following me. If you don't bear fruit, you're removed. But if you do bear fruit, God is still going to take the knife and God is still going to purge you. Young vines, I've read about this. Young vines are not allowed to produce for several years. They keep pruned back. They have a certain pruning process. So this is my answer to you today. How do you produce fruit? The answer is this. You've got to keep abiding in Jesus. He said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. The place of the branch is in the vine. It has no life and no fruit of its own. All life and fruit are derived from its connection to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. I was reading something that was pretty interesting. How the branch is an organic part of the vine, and the vine expresses its life through the branches. So when He says that you are a branch and that I am a branch, the vine is going to express itself through us. Everybody with me? That's why I get worried when somebody comes to me. And look, I love to hear people getting saved. That's what we want. But do you realize there's been more people that said they got... I remember sitting in a service one time where they said so many 100, 300, 400 got saved. And then later on, you see no going forward in their life. You see no fruit at all. I'm talking months up the road. I understand there's a growing process. But I wonder, there's going to be some form of expression in their life. Something! I was reading about in a vineyard, the best grapes are produced are the ones that are closest to the central vine. And that central vine, understandably, that is where the nutrients are, that are the most concentrated. Thus, the lateral branches are not allowed to ramble and grow the way they want to. He's going to keep you close to Him. Has anybody else other than Derek Jones ever had Jesus prune you to keep you close? Come on now. I was reading something Brother Todd Slaga put on the internet today. He said, this is a new season. He said, a lot of seasons are starting right now. Football season, this season, that season, this season. Look, I ain't saying nothing bad in this inception. What I'm saying is this. Don't let anything pull you away from Christ. Come on. There's been times in my life I've started to launch out in things that I didn't think was so bad. Business-minded, maybe. Make a little money. And boy, the sweet Holy Ghost, sweet God of heaven, will take the scissors out and clip it right off of you. And you're like, Lord, I thought for sure that would have been better for me. And the whole time you look at it now, look back, I was getting further and further away from the vine. Not saying disconnected from it, but further and further away from the vine. And the furthest you get away from the vine, the less fruit you will provide. Eventually you get too far away from it, my friend, and you produce no fruit. But aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is embracing us and keeping us close that we can produce what we need to produce in our lives. Notice the vine dresser prunes the branches in two ways. He cuts away dead wood that can breed diseases and insects, and he cuts away living tissue that also can hinder the full potential in your life. Hear me today. What I felt the sweet God of heaven do with my heart on was this. Some of you have living tissue, so to speak. Quit trying to defend it. The reason God has you there and dealing with you in that certain way is because He's wanting you to produce more fruit. And the whole time you're growing further away from Him, He's saying, no, come back to Me that I can do more in your life. Notice this, your Heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when He is pruning you. He's dealing with you. Has anybody else ever got excited about getting dealt with by God? That sounds a little different, don't it? I've never been more excited at times than when I really prayed through and God told me no, and I got excited about being told no. Because I realize the way I try to view it is this. At that moment, the God that's created the mountains, the sparrows, and owns the cattle on a thousand hill, who flicked His fingers and caused the stars to hang, who hung the heavens like a curtain, has stopped at that moment, has took out His pruning shears, had come to Derek Jones, and it came to me, and that sweet Holy Ghost, who is universal and powerful and all-knowing and knows you just as good as He knows me, has taken time out of His life, has came off the street, so to speak, has come inside His vineyard and looked at me and said, look, I'm going to clip this today. You don't understand it. But the reason I'm clipping this is because there's going to be more fruit up the road if you'll listen to me. I feel the Holy Ghost there in my heart. And then for Him to continue and say, you know what? Not just more fruit, but He prunes me again. And it hurts. And He says, I want you to produce much fruit. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you know as well as I do, fruit is not produced for fruit. Fruit is produced for others. And I wonder when somebody looks at your life, are they fed by you? When they have a problem, can they come to you and say, I look at your life and you're flourishing and all the great things and good gifts that God has given. I need patience and I know you have it. I need love and I know you have it. I need peace and I know you have it. I need joy and I know you have it. And the whole time they're talking to you and they're able to glean from you and they're able to eat in peace from your life, the whole time you're pointing back to the vine and say, the only reason I have any of this is because of Jesus. Fruit is for the glory of God. Notice what it says. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. Have you ever seen somebody that used to be flourishing and now they're withering? I've got friends over the years. I've watched their lives. I'm telling you, I've watched them do great things. I watched God use them. I've had some of them speak into my own life. And I look at them today and instead of flourishing, they're withering. But notice what Jesus says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. You notice that He gives you a platform to ask Him and talk to Him and it can be done. But you've got to be in the vine. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in love. Even I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Right there at the end of that, He's naming fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy. Early on, He talked about peace. Our Lord has spoken about peace. And now He mentions love and joy. He wants this to be in our lives. As my wife goes to the piano. N.T. Wright tells this story. As we're about to stand in just a moment. N.T. Wright tells this story. And please do listen. In the month of December, he went downtown and noticed all the stores had windows full of trees, decorated with light, tinsel, and all sorts of beautiful things. These trees look so alive and everyone would stop and admire their beauty. Does anybody else during Christmas time ever notice a Christmas tree that's pretty? We went to BJ's, I believe it was yesterday or the day before. They already got Christmas trees up. Already moving into that season. They're putting out decorations. But N.T. Wright says he looks downtown where he lived. He said, everything looks so vibrant, so alive. The kids are looking around, eyes are all big. He said, and they look so alive. He said, or at least they looked alive. He said, in reality, of course, they weren't. It was all show. I went down the same street a month later as the decorations were being taken down. It was very bleak. The tinsel and decorations went back into the boxes. The trees were withered and folded up. They weren't real after all, or thrown out. Nothing had actually been growing on them. It looked magnificent, but it was all artificial. Let me ask you a question. I wonder how many Christians are more like Christmas trees than they are a vine. Amen. Trying to look impressive. Trying to act a certain way. And the whole time is artificial. It's not deep. It's not real. Are there more Christians? Seem like at times what I've dealt with, many seem like Christmas trees. You look alive for a little amount of time and you put on a good show. But deep down there is no life. You never get pruned by God. You never produce fruit. You just come to church and everyone admires your decorations. But there is no life. But my friend, if you are abiding in Christ, you can feel the very sap running through you. You are pruned and dealt with. And you feel the Spirit water you. And you have, and my friend, you produce the crop. You want to be what God wants you to be. You are working for Christ and He is working on your behalf. How much fruit are you producing? And if any of these lists on these characters, I'm going to read them to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How many would say I could love better and more? And please don't feel like you're loving unconditionally like Christ. I heard somebody said, I'm just like Jesus. I said, die for the world. Struggle to get you out your bed in the mornings and you can't even... I'm like Jesus. That unconditional love dry... You read, I encourage the class this morning, go grab you some biographies about some men of God who left all and did something for Jesus and then come to me with your resume of unconditional love. I can find somebody that will knock it down 1,000,000 to 1. I'm not saying you're called to do what they did, but I am telling you're called to love like they loved. May I ask you a question about your joy? Are you deflated? Is church just a place to go ritualistically? Or is it a place that I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the house of the Lord? When you come through those doors, you're entering into His presence apart from everything. What about your peace? Do you have quietness of soul? Or is your mind like a hurricane? And you hear the roaring of the enemy. How much peace do you have? Are you long-suffering? Are you a whiny baby? Are you gentle, good? Do you have stability, faith and stability? Are you meek? Do you have yourself under control? Or are you temperance? Do you operate self-control in all things? Notice this. I wonder where that is. But notice John 15 and 8. We read about these fruits and we need more of them in our lives. Herein my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. How many wants to glorify God? Let that vine produce in your life. Amen. Stand on your feet all over this church. Amen. I've tried to obey God. And I trust you've listened. I don't want to... I'm just trying to obey Him. That's all I'm trying to do. I promise. I want to do this openly, friends. I want to look at you and I want you to look at me. I'm a